Over the past few months, significantly higher than normal levels of radiation have been raising alarm bells across Europe. It appeared a large cloud of ruthenium-106 was hovering over an area close to the location of a Russian nuclear facility near the Ural Mountains. While Russian authorities have now confirmed they were higher than normal radiation levels, they continue to deny being the source. Neil Hyde is a professor of nuclear materials chemistry at the University of Sheffield. Welcome to RN Drive.
Oh, good evening to you.
Can you start by taking us through exactly what happened here? When was the radiation first detected?
So there's been several detections from as early as February this year through to September and October over Europe. And so various monitoring stations found higher than normal levels of this particular isotope, ruthenium-106. And then some modelling or some simulations of the weather patterns by the French regulator, the IRSN, located the potential source of that ruthenium-106 release to be in the southern Urals, where there's a nuclear fuel reprocessing plant called MIAC in Russia.
And what is ruthenium-106, and what would cause a large amount of it to present like this?
So ruthenium-106 is a man-made isotope. It's a synthetic isotope. It's made in nuclear reactors. What could cause its release is one of two things. So either relatively young nuclear fuel has been handled from a reactor and reprocessed, and there's been a release of that activity, or a medical isotope target. So this is enriched uranium 235, so like you have in the Opal reactor at ANSTO outside of Sydney, and that can also be processed to extract medical isotopes, and that might also have led to a release. So it's important to stress at the moment that although Rosatom, which is the Russian nuclear energy agency, has said that it has also detected higher than normal expected levels of ruthenium-106, it hasn't actually confirmed that that's come from the MIAC site or anywhere in Russia at the present time.
Experts don't think this poses a threat to human beings. Are they right? Because there are pretty widespread concerns about this.
So certainly in Europe, the levels of ruthenium-106 that have been detected are certainly not a threat to human health. The French regulator, the IRSN, has estimated that the size of the ruthenium-106 release, had it occurred in Western Europe, would have required local mitigation. So an exclusion zone of a few kilometres around the source of the release and control of local foodstuff. So without hard data from the actual site of this release, it's hard to comment at the present time as to what the local health impacts might be. But the closer you are to the source generally, the more problematic that becomes.
And the highest concentrations of radiation were close to a Soviet-era nuclear facility that was the site of a major accident decades ago. What's that facility used for now?
So that facility called MIAC is used for all sorts of both civil and some defence nuclear fuel handling operations. So what happens is fuel comes into the plant from a nuclear reactor. And then what happens is it's called reprocessing. So it's chemically treated, and the uranium and the plutonium are extracted to make into new fuel. And then the high-level radioactive waste is stored and then turned into a glass. So you're right, that plant in 1957, there was a disaster called the Kishtin disaster, which is second only to Fukushima and Chernobyl in its significance, and resulted in widespread contamination of about 300 square metres around the vicinity of that site.
Now, the Russian government, and you've mentioned this, it denies it's responsible for the leak. But until a few days ago, they were denying that they'd even noticed the higher radiation levels, which, of course, is a cause of concern, given, you know, there was clearly evidence of this. What are we to make of that?
So it's difficult to say. I'm not a foreign affairs specialist. I think if you look back in history, there's certainly been some concerns over the transparency and reporting of nuclear accidents in Russia and its predecessor, the Soviet Union. So the sort of development of the release of information sequentially and in small parts in response to Western media coverage is in some sense to be expected. So, We'll be watching closely, and we'll be watching for independent verifications, particularly of what's happened there, in order to sort of understand the accident and its consequences.
Well, talk to me about that process, because how do we go about now ascertaining that independently? What is the process? Is there an established process for the next steps here?
So the international authority here is the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency. So they will certainly be holding, I would imagine, very high-level dialogue with Russian authorities to try to understand if an accident has occurred and what the consequences are, and to be able to put their resources and the resources of other countries at the disposal of the Russian authorities to help develop mitigating actions and a potential cleanup strategy. So really the interactions will be bilateral between governments and also through the IAEA.
Is it possible that whatever happened is more serious than we're being led to believe?
So that's a good question. The interesting thing about this particular detection is that we're not detecting any other radioisotopes. So had there been, for example, a very serious reactor leak, we would expect to also be able to detect radioisotopes like cesium-137, and we haven't detected those. So we can almost certainly rule out a reactor leak. So the incident probably is concerned with a fuel handling facility, one of these chemical treatment plants, and that does reduce the sort of the hazard if we're only detecting this particular ruthenium-106 isotope, which is relatively short-lived. So all the signs are at the moment are that this is confined to a nuclear fuel treatment plant, and that the incident is relatively low in terms of its significance. But at the moment, we have a paucity of data, so we have to watch the situation carefully as it develops.
We've only got a minute left, but there's long been concern about the safety of nuclear material in Russia and the former Soviet republics. There's a lot of aging nuclear reactors. How serious is the risk of a major disaster?
So at the moment, what we can say about the sort of historic situation that was left over from the end of the Cold War is that the nuclear material that was widely distributed over the Soviet Union has there's been a very intensive international effort to recover that material, both nuclear material and radioisotope generators and radioactive sources, and to bring that material back into Russia and to other nation states in order that it can be adequately and securely held in storage and eventually treated and disposed of. So the situation has moved on considerably since the Cold War in that respect.
Neil, thank you so much for sharing your considerable brain on this with us all.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Neil Hyde is a professor of nuclear materials chemistry at the University of Sheffield, and this is RN Drive.